Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
Rapata at the scene of a damaged medical facility.
The moment an Iranian missile slammed into Soroka Hospital in Beersheba this morning. Inside, panic and chaos as doctors and patients fled to the bomb shelters.
Israel reports at least 40 wounded. President Trump says he's still weighing his options. Another miss for SpaceX.
Whoa!
A Starship rocket burst into a huge fireball just before a planned test in Texas last night. Comes after another uncrewed rocket exploded over the Indian Ocean. A jury in Boston has found Karen Reed not guilty of murder and manslaughter in the death of her police officer boyfriend.
No one has fought harder for justice for John O'Keefe than I have and my team.
Her first trial ended with the jury deadlocked. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Six more prosecutors in Waukesha County, two more in Washington. Wisconsin's Joint Finance Committee, led by Republicans, want to add 42 new prosecutors across 23 counties. Waukesha County would get six new positions and Brown County getting seven. The new jobs proposed are based on a staffing analysis by the Wisconsin District Attorneys Association. The GOP plan doesn't replace expiring federal funds that paid for about 29 prosecutor jobs statewide. Milwaukee is celebrating Juneteenth today with a full lineup of community events. The 54th annual Juneteenth Jubilee Parade is followed by a festival at Rose Park, and the events extend into the evening with a special Juneteenth celebration at Summerfest. Savannah Tolmie Olson explains the significance of the holiday.
While the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863, it took 2 years to get the news to enslaved people in Confederate states. That news finally came to Texas on June 19, 1865, telling the last enslaved people in the country they were free. Governor Tony Evers raised the Juneteenth flag at the state capitol yesterday.
For 160 years, this day has been recognized across the nation to celebrate the true end of slavery in the United States. And in 1987, to bring this back home to Wisconsin, State Senator Spencer Coggs and Representative Marsha Coggs proposed the first legislation to recognize Juneteenth in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, it took us another two decades to get it right.
Wisconsin started marking Juneteenth in 2009. This is the sixth year in a row the flag has flown at the state capitol building.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Baseball today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Cubs go at it today at the friendly confines of Wrigley Field in Chicago. Last night's game rained out and rescheduled for August 18th. NFL, former Packers defensive back Jaire Alexander signed a one-year deal yesterday with the Baltimore Ravens, reported worth $6 million, but a breakdown shows the deal is actually $4 million, with the rest based on incentives and how many games played. NBA, former Oshkosh North High alum Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers host the Thunder tonight in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. The Thunder up 3-2 in that series, but Halliburton dealing with a strained right calf muscle.
Practice today, did what I could. I know coach just told you guys what the process will be for me to play, and we're just taking it from there.
Are you dealing with a strain?
Yeah.
That's the Indiana Pacers shooting guard Tyrese Halliburton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A spotty shower possible early, otherwise increasing sunshine with high temperatures in the upper 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies and mild with lows in the low to mid 60s. An isolated shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon on Friday with highs near 80. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to FreedomFireworksWI.com for location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Tomorrow, we've got celebrity guests. We've got Marcelia Nicholson, Milwaukee County Board Chair, Sabrina Madison, Dana Pelobon, and Ellie Halo, a woman of Black trans experience. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, Lake Wissota is looking good today. Good morning, 7:06. It's nice to have you back here on a Thursday morning. It's June 19th, 2025. Parker Olson standing by in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot standing by to tell you the forecast. We will be talking a bit about holidays and festivals this weekend. We'll be talking about today's holiday, the Juneteenth holiday, a little historical background on it. We'll get into Summerfest, which starts today in Milwaukee. The big gig is here, and other things going on, including the big Cranberry Blossom Festival in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll talk to somebody from there about what all you can do if you want to take a road trip out to the central part of the state coming up this weekend. A reminder, as always, you can reach us, you can send us a text message, for example, at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, but you can also put something in the comment section. You can find us online in five different places. For Civic Media, it's the Facebook page or the YouTube page. For Up North News, it's the Facebook page or the YouTube page. And you can also follow my Facebook page. Head over to Facebook, facebook.com/morningswithpatkreitlow. And you can put something on there as well. One more way to reach us, you can speak your mind as well. There is the voice note feature on the Civic Media app. You can use that to record a message with a comment or a question. You can steer the conversation into another topic that we might play on air. It'll show up here. One Parker Olson will take a look at it and decide if you make the cut or not. Parker has decided that, once again, Brittany Merlot passed the audition and is welcome here to give us a forecast, which is alternatingly rainy and sultry. Or is it steamy? Or is it sticky?
What is it? Use any of those words.
It's gross. Gross. Let's go with gross. Here are the gross details on the weekend from Brittany Merlot.
Yes, here we go. All right. So we've got fog out there in places this morning. That's going to clear very, very shortly. We've got spots of sun. We've also got a few clouds and a few showers and thunderstorms rolling in towards Spooner, Rice Lake area right now. Otherwise, temperatures starting in the mid-50s to mid-60s statewide. And today we are going to reach those upper 70s to low 80s everywhere today. Dew points kind of comfortable in the 50s. So it's going to be a nice, beautiful, bright day today. We do have that front, though, still sitting over northern parts of the state. So this is why a few scattered showers and small, brief storms are still possible here. So that'll be the case through this morning. Then by tonight, we are looking at chances for more storms starting to spark up, especially north, probably after 8 o'clock or so, and then rolling their way through portions of the state, kind of like they did yesterday. Very widely scattered. It's going to hit or miss who's going to get them. That'll be the case again tonight, and some of those could be stronger, potentially severe, maybe some gusty winds and hail. We are in a marginal risk statewide for them to turn severe. And then as we go through tomorrow morning, expect widespread rain, probably some heavy rain, thunderstorms. Again, some of them could be strong to severe as this front lifts north. So after that, after tomorrow afternoon, we are going to go into an excessive heat. We have a watch out right now for northern and western parts of the state where temperatures are going to be rising statewide to about 90 to 95 degrees. And then the dew points are going to be in the mid-70s. I told you today they're in the 50s. Yesterday they were in the 60s. We haven't felt those mid to upper 70 dew points just yet. Paired with the 90s, it is going to be feeling like the triple digits. Heat index values will feel like anywhere from 100 to 105 degrees. This is both Saturday, Sunday, and pushing into Monday too. So very, very hot as we bring in summer and have all of these events, but at least it'll be dry. We just have to hydrate.
So people are like, well, why do you say gross? She told you right there, dew points in the 70s. That is the meteorological definition of gross. Right
it
there.
Absolutely is. It doesn't get much worse than that.
Wow. Oh, you definitely feel it. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. It's partly cloudy and 60. Last night we had a thunderstorm around 11 p.m. and picked up 0.4 inches of rain. Had 2 yards to mow. Yesterday I had 3 to mow now. One of them, I need to get that done before Central Wisconsin Electric Co-op buries power lines in that area this afternoon. Good thing the ground is moist before the hot weather this weekend and the crops will grow real fast, which we need. The hot, humid weather and the moisture in the ground for the crops to grow. And as far as the voice note feature goes, Alicia writes, Pat, do you really want me to speak my mind? I'm not saying they're not all going to air necessarily.
I'm the gatekeeper here, guys.
Yeah. And then from Roger and Stevens Point on Facebook, we were talking about Hart in our last segment because Ann Wilson is 75 today. He says, Dreamboat Annie, the album came out when I was 10 years old, and now that album is 49 years old. We've been listening to Hart for a good long time. So, Brittany, next hour, I want to talk to you about, you have a story up about smallmouth bass. And,
oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Where you can go there. But what I wanted to ask you about this time around was these early sunrises. And mm-hmm. to ask, now this I know this isn't quite weather related, but it's about sunrise and sunset. And I noticed something, and I think Roger noticed it as well over at the time and date website. When you look at, you know, how early the sun comes up, and you notice how it always gets light beforehand.
Right.
I didn't realize until I was looking at that website, there are actually 3 different types of twilight that they describe. Okay. There's astronomical twilight, there's nautical twilight, and there's civil twilight. Had you ever heard of these before?
I have not. No. What's the astronomical? I'm curious.
Well, see, now they say it's all about how far the sun is below the horizon yet. So the sun hasn't risen, but you're still getting some of the sun's rays. They're still, you know, being bounced around in the atmosphere, and we can see a little bit of light. And so the definitions, he said, trying to pull up the right screen on his phone here to best describe them, is the astronomical one is the darkest one, okay? It's where there's just barely any light. You can still see a lot of the stars. It's actually more useful at the opposite end of the scale. That's the last of the light before it gets completely dark. And the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon, it says here. And then there's nautical twilight. And that's the one where, again, named for sailing, where you can see enough to get a feel for where you're going. And then the last one, civil twilight, is where you really don't need any lighting to help you. The sun's not up yet, but you can see enough. So there's, the astronomical one is 18 degrees below the horizon. Nautical is 12 degrees below the horizon. And then civil dawn is 6 degrees. The sun is still below the horizon. It hasn't yet risen. And it just really jumped out at me that, in Wisconsin, that first one, that astronomical twilight.
Yeah.
We have sunrise at 5:18, but astronomical twilight, that first bit of a little bit of light out there where the sky isn't pitch black at this time of year, 2:46 in the morning.
Yeah. Okay.
2:46 is when you get the first little hints of something out there where it's not totally dark. Huh. And then at this part of the year, nautical twilight is at 3:51 a.m. And that's the one that I kind of notice when I first get going up and about. It's like,
yep.
And then civil twilight is now at 4:41 in the morning. And that one where it's like, yeah, the sun's not up yet, but you could go for a walk or something like that. And I bring up all this for people who say we shouldn't have daylight savings time. If we didn't have daylight savings time, bring all that back an hour. Astronomical twilight would start at 1:46 in the morning, nautical at 2:51 in the morning, civil twilight at 3:41, and sunrise at 4:18. Who wants sunrise at 4:18
in
the morning? Nobody.
Nobody.
So when you're talking about, I don't want daylight savings time, you're half right. You want daylight savings time. We just want it all year round.
Right.
We don't need noon to be when the sun is straight up. I was just talking about my Apple Watch. Do you see a sundial on this thing? There is no sundial. We don't use sundials anymore. So we can have noon be whenever we want. So we want our noon at 1 o'clock from now on.
I like it. I'm with you.
I feel really strong about this.
This really threw me off.
That's how I feel about it, too. Who really wants that sun that early in summer? Well, nobody.
And that late. I mean, Rob is pointing out right now, I noticed sunset. There is light in the sky at 10 p.m. in June. And he's absolutely right. I mean, I was just looking at that end of it. At sunset now is at 8:55, which means civil twilight goes until 9:32. That sounds about right. Nautical twilight goes until 10:22. You still have, enough that you could say there's some twilight out there at 10:22. Yep. And it doesn't get pitch black out there nowadays until 11:28 at night. And it's all because of that thing we talked about yesterday, the Earth on its, spinning on its axis and how it got
to
be that
way. Gotta love summer, the longest day of the year, tomorrow.
Yep. Well, everybody, that was fun. Nerd chat.
yes, it was. Gotta get
twilights awesome. And the curvature of the Earth and axis and everything else. And once again, Brittany Merlot pointing out why she is the most patient person in civic media. Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, we'll see you next hour. And we're going to talk a little fishing at that point as well. Got a few things to tell you about in terms of Up North News and civic media and our parent company, Courier Newsroom, for civic media. Besides having a newsroom with statewide reach, just like us at Up North News, our friends at Civic Media have you covered with local news updates from each individual station. You can go to civicmedia.com and find your local Civic Media station. And somewhere up near the top of the station's homepage, you're going to see something called the Daily News Roundup that you can listen to. Just click on there and you'll hear the latest. You can also get email versions of their daily update while you're there as well. So again, go to Civic Media. Did I say civicmedia.com? I meant to say civicmedia.us. Civicmedia.us. And go find your local station there and give a listen to those local updates that are there. Meanwhile, for purposes of our show, wanted to tell you about tomorrow because we're not going to have our usual lineup of guests. We've got folks who are traveling, have the day off, things like that. So in place of Kia Vakil tomorrow morning at 6:30, we will have somebody from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation because they just put out a new study all about how much Wisconsin hospitals would lose if the current version of the Trump big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill were to pass. We're talking about $3 to $4 billion in reductions over the next decade. A whole lot of that coming from uncompensated care if Medicaid gets slashed. And a lot of hospitals are on thin enough margins that they'll close up. And we've seen how many small hospitals have already closed in Wisconsin. So we'll find out more about that in our 6 a.m. hour tomorrow. And then in our 7 a.m. hour, we will not be able to meet up with Jim Santel. He's got a court hearing. Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze are both out traveling. But I was able to find one woman who could replace them all, and that would be Chicago broadcasting legend Joan Esposito. She will be joining me throughout the 7 a.m. hour tomorrow. And then in the 8 a.m. hour, things get back to normal with Dr. Kristen Lyerly showing up here at 8:05. And then Mike Clemens has a preview of sports. That'll be coming up at 8:30. And speaking of sports, we'd love to tell you about how the Brewers did against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. But Wrigley Field hasn't figured out how to put on a dome yet. And so the game was rained out. So were the White Sox. Both Chicago games were rained out. Detroit was rained out. Cincinnati was a near rain out. Anyway, the Brewers-Cubs game will be made up as part of a day-night doubleheader on Monday, August 18th. The teams are scheduled to wrap up their series this afternoon. You can catch the pregame starting at 12:45 on several Civic media stations. Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski was supposed to start last night. It's not clear if he's going to be starting this afternoon's game. We're going to talk about the Juneteenth holiday next. For some of you, there will be a local update. Live from Lake Wasota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's happening in southeastern Wisconsin. It's summertime, and while there's no professional football happening, there's no offseason for the Packers as they welcome a new president in Ed Policy. Our very own sports reporter Mike Clemens sat down and had a one-on-one conversation with the brand new head of the front office to talk about taking over for Mark Murphy and what he has planned for the team now and for the future.
All right, thanks for the Packers' new president and chief executive officer, Ed Policy. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Thanks so much for coming to Lambeau Field.
You know, I think about your father, Carmen, with the 49ers and then later the Browns. You get the law degree, which I think serves a guy in this role so well, not only for player contracts, but the contracts he does to the buildings that you have gone. Commissioner of the Arena Football League, and then you get involved in the NFL. Then it gets to be 2012, and how did it come about that you joined the Packers? What made your decision to join the staff here?
Sure. So at the time, as you'd pointed out, I had a background in professional football, and I was working for the National Football League after the Arena Football League as a consultant. And my dream was to work for a team, though. And at the time, I had a short list of about five teams that I would love to work for. Now, there are only 32 of them, so you pretty much go where the work is. But there were five that I'd really be excited about joining, and the Packers were one of them. The Packers happened to have an opening. I didn't know Mark Murphy at the time, but Mark was going to be in New York, and he had hired a search firm. He had hired a gentleman named Jed Hughes to help him with this recruitment. And when Mark was in New York, I interviewed with him at his hotel, and we hit it off, and I was here a few months later.
In 2019, Mark decides to make a change in terms of structure, where the general manager, the head coach, vice president of finance report to the president and CEO. What have you thought about that now as you take over?
Yeah, I was with Mark. I was in the room with Mark when he decided to make that change, and you know, I think he made it for sound reasons, and I think it's worked out well so far. I really do. I think we've got three excellent people in football leadership positions right now, and they're all working extremely well together. So you just can't argue with results. I think it's worked. I would continue to keep that structure for the time being and continue to keep those three individuals in their current roles. You know, we've got flexibility. If we ever feel that that structure is not working for us, we can certainly change the structure to whatever form we think would be best. Ultimately, we're here to do what's best for the Green Bay Packers organization, so that's what we'll do.
I think what's unique about your appointment is, I mean, you've been here through all these things, through Titletown, renovations to the football operations building, the NFL draft. So in your first year here, what do you see as the next big thing for the franchise?
You know, the Packers, the entire organization really exists for three things and three things only, and that's to win football games, to keep the Packers in Green Bay, and to strengthen our community. So I'll be really focused on those three things, and the next big thing will be a kind of a culmination of all of them. I mean, we will continue first and foremost to focus on fielding a very competitive football team that's hopefully competing for championships. On the Keep the Packers in Green Bay, the big things there will be continuing to maintain and evolve Lambeau Field so that it remains not just iconic but also state-of-the-art. We also have to continue to operate a very sound business so that it can support the strong football team. And then we do have to continue to strengthen our community through things like Titletown, other philanthropic efforts, and just all the community involvement that we have.
Last year, your division, Vikings, Lions, all go to the playoffs. You, and now the Bears with Ben Johnson, head coach, impressive guy. How do you see this season rolling out for the Packers?
You know, it's pretty exciting because I don't think the entire NFL has ever been more competitive than it is right now. And I think our division is not only the most competitive division in football right now, but maybe in the history of the NFL. So I think it's exciting. I think we've got our work cut out for us, but so do they.
As Packers president and CEO, Ed Policy. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mike, for that great interview with Packers president Ed Policy. The Brewers are on the road right now in Chicago and give up the first game in a three-game stand against the first-place Cubs, losing 5-3 last night. Mike Clemens caught up with the Brewers head coach Pat Murphy to talk about their performance last night at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good game. A lot of great defensive plays, both ends. They hit in the clutch. You know, they did some clutch hitting. Suzuki's homer changed the game. But I'm proud of our guys. We did some good things. We didn't necessarily hit in big situations, but leaving 10 guys on base or 9, whatever it was. But, you know, credit to their pitching staff and credit to their defense. Did a great job, and, you know, they got a great lineup.
The skipper had some encouraging words for his players that night, including pitcher Chad Patrick.
I thought Chad Patrick did a nice job. He had a little struggle in the fifth there, third time around. But I thought Mears and Rob Z, at least for the first inning, and Anderson were really good. So a lot of positives from it. You know, a lot of good things tonight. So we'll stick with that right now.
And remember, we do carry Brewers baseball right here on Civic Media. Make sure you check your local radio station to make sure you can listen to it there. And keep it locked in with Civic Media for your Brewers baseball. Now, here at Civic Media, you don't always equate us with sports, but we have sports coverage. We have sports, news, weather, and you can find all of that by going to civicmedia.us/news, and you can find out all of what's going on in our community all around the state, whether it's entertainment, politics, sports, weather, or Wisconsin news, go to civicmedia.us. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to our website, WAUK Radio, and subscribe to our newsletter. It's got everything you need for what's going on in our community. Once again, waukradio.com, and sign up for that newsletter today. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll see you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29.
Listening to Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A new bipartisan agreement down at the state capitol could mean some improved health care options for folks in rural communities. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. It is called the Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Modernization Act. And Wisconsin Senator Patrick Teston from Stevens Point, who chairs the Senate Agriculture and Revenue Committee, is happy that it's finding support. Teston says that this bill has been around for at least 13 years, trying to authorize qualified registered nurses to practice independently of a physician and without need for collaboration, as long as cases don't fall outside their areas of expertise. Teston says that gives rural health care providers a whole lot more options.
You know, we have an agreement, and while not everyone was 100% happy with the final product, I am quite confident it's going to get signed into law and it's going to move these advanced practice registered nurses in the right direction, which is primarily to empower them to do the jobs that they were trained to do, which is to take care of patients. And so I'm hopeful that we will become the 29th state that has enacted a form of this legislation. And it's a step in the right direction to help patients and empower providers.
That's Wisconsin Senator Pat Teston. He says when it comes to frontline medical professionals, especially in rural communities, they are well aware of the dire workforce challenges being faced. He said this APRN Modernization Act would hopefully help relieve some of that stress.
Wisconsin's dairy farmers are more than just producers of milk and cheese. They're dedicated caretakers of the land, animals, and communities that they call home. Tina Peterson, Director of Wisconsin Communications for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, explains the essential role that these farmers play and how we can all take part in supporting them.
So we know our Wisconsin dairy farmers have a really long history of caring for their land and water, mostly because these are multi-generational farms, but they also take really great care in making sure they're taking care of their cows and their families and farms and communities. So there's a lot on a farmer's plate, but they are such a vital, important role in their communities. And we encourage consumers to really engage with our dairy farmers, ask them the questions they have, and then they can support dairy farmers by buying products made from our Wisconsin milk. And that's very easy to do in the store. You can go to any retailer and look for products that have the Proudly Wisconsin cheese or Proudly Wisconsin dairy badge.
To learn more about how you can support Wisconsin's dairy industry, visit wisconsindairy.org.
And starting next week, organic grain producers around the state will have several field day opportunities coming their way. Aaron Silva, who's professor and extension specialist of the Old Grain Program, says despite inflationary pressures, organic product sales exceeded $71 billion last year and are expected to grow this year by at least a 4% rate. More stories like that available now at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A spotty shower possible early, otherwise increasing sunshine with high temperatures in the upper 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies and mild with lows in the low to mid 60s. An isolated shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon on Friday with highs near 80. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, ICE agents are taking people into custody with no identification and they're masked. What is the legality of that? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Up North News. Sharita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm good. I am so ready for a weekend, and it's going to be a festival weekend in several places. We talked to Earl Ingram for a bit yesterday about Summerfest, and he talked about being at the first Summerfest, and we both swore it was 1970. We were wrong. It was 1968. Wow. The headliner was George Jessel. In 1969, the headliner was Dolly Parton. In 1970, it was Sly and the Family Stone. So I don't know which one, if you went to all of them or what, but those are just some of the early examples of who played at Summerfest. What do you want to tell us about this year's edition?
So, yeah, the world's largest music festival is kicking off in Milwaukee today and will run through the 21st. And some of those headliners for this weekend include Def Leppard, the Isley Brothers, Natasha Bedingfield, Gigi Perez, and James Taylor. There will also be almost 100 vendors selling clothing, jewelry, artwork, decor, and more. And of course, there will be tons of local food ranging from Ian's Pizza to Johnsonville Sazes and Pete's Pops and a whole lot more. General admission tickets are about $30 this year, but check out their website at summerfest.com for admission promotions.
And like I said yesterday, if you still haven't gone down to Milwaukee to take in Summerfest, do yourself a favor and just do this. And I was looking at the lineups as well. So like you said, tonight, Def Leppard, the Isley Brothers, Natasha Bedingfield, Gary Clark Jr. And then I'm looking at Friday. Friday is Hozier, George Thorogood, the Head and Heart, Cran Funk Railroad, Rick Springfield. And keep that in mind because we're going to mention him again in just a couple of minutes here. Sharita, what can you tell us about your years going to Summerfest?
The one I remember most is when I went to see Wiz Khalifa. This had to be like maybe 15 years ago, but it was so packed that day, like jam packed. And I ran into a couple of friends. So it was such a good time. It was like my favorite one yet. But then last year, I also went to go see SZA. So that was fun too.
That's right.
She almost got rained out too. Like it was a thunderstorm and they almost canceled it. But thank God it kept going.
Wow. As I was looking at the history of Summerfest acts, funny that you say that, raining out. The 1978 headliner was rained out. So the Grateful Dead was supposed to play Summerfest, but never did. Let's carry on to other places that are having festivals this weekend. Let's come out here to the Chippewa Valley. We've got something new to talk about at the festival grounds in Eau Claire.
Yep, so Summer Jam will hit Eau Claire on Friday and Saturday, and some of those headliners include Lynyrd Skynyrd, The Black Crowes, Rick Springfield again.
There he is!
Yep, Gavin DeGraw, and more. There will also be an interactive zone for games and other fun activities, in addition to food courts and local food vendors, or local vendors where you can shop and grab some Summer Jam merch. They also have on-site camping right next to the festival, so you can pitch a tent or bring an RV. General admission tickets are $110, or you can get a two-day pass for $149. So you can get more information and your tickets at summerjamwi.com.
Last but not least, let's touch on something happening in Wisconsin Rapids.
Cranberry Blossom Festival is running through today through Sunday, and that four-day annual festival will include live music, a parade, arts and crafts, a carnival, and lots of treats featuring, you guessed it, cranberries. You can get more information about that event at blossomfest.com.
I got just the person to talk about that out of Wisconsin Rapids. So let me make that transition, Sharita, by thanking you so much for that quick preview of things to do around Wisconsin this weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye, Pat.
And as promised, here's our person. It's Maggie Mulesky, president of the Cherry Blossom Festival, the group that helps organize the big doings in Wisconsin Rapids. Maggie, hello. How are you?
I am very good. How are you?
Very good. Like we were just discussing, a lot of big things happening around Wisconsin this weekend, certainly in Wisconsin Rapids as well. You've got the Blossom Festival there. Do you know much about the genesis of it, how it came to be a Cranberry Blossom Festival that was chosen?
Well, I believe the story behind it is because Wisconsin Rapids area is pretty much cranberries. We have a lot of cranberry growers around us. And we're celebrating the starting of the season where the berries are coming into blossom and going into the fall, then, you know, when they pick the berries. But this is the time of the year when it's very beautiful.
All right. Well, why don't you take us through some of what's going to be happening this weekend? I know there's a lot going on, so I'll let you pick a few select highlights that you'd like to have the folks know about.
Sure. This year we have 17 individual events. Some of those events, like the Blossom Fest Carnival, are going to run for 4 days. The ice cream social at the Historical Society on Saturday afternoon, only a couple hours, but get over there. Some great Wisconsin ice cream with cranberry syrup on the top. Can't beat it.
There's lunch down by the river. And yes. Later, there's the Aqua Skiers Water Ski Show.
Lunch by the River is their signature start of the Cranberry Blossom Festival. The Chamber is very involved with us doing a couple different events during the weekend. So there's also Chalk It Up. The Boys and Girls Club are running an event down right in front of their building by the YMCA called Chalk It Up, where you can pick up some chalk and make a nice picture on the sidewalk. So that's a great event for the family and the kids to do. The carnival opens at 6 and runs till 10 on Thursday night. We also have one that's been going with us for a long, long time. It's called Cinema Under the Stars. It's been downtown on the streets since the inception of it. This year they're showing The Wizard of Oz. Should be a very fun time. And the other newer one is the McMillan Concert Series is hosting the Daddy-O Jazz Band. I'm very much looking forward to seeing that.
From the water activities to the Chalk Fest to music in the evening, I mean, you're starting with a very full slate.
Yes, we do. We start with a very full Thursday. So do as I do, pick up a brochure, circle the things you want to do and make a plan, because there is a lot to do.
Oh my goodness. And that's barely scratching the surface, because you've also got on Friday the Dairy Berry Pancake Breakfast over at the Lincoln High School cafeteria. There's going to be the Material Girls quilt show going on, and then a Downtown on Tap event on Friday from 5 to 9 p.m. Some of these things, there's a Kids Learn to Fish that goes on there. I get the impression then, Maggie, that, I mean, this isn't any one group. These are many community groups that are all coming together and doing some things individually and some things together to make this all happen.
Yes, they are. Yes. And each group is doing it in conjunction with Cranberry Blossom Fest, but the money that they make, or even if they do charge, some do not charge for their events. Thus, the ice cream social is a no charge. There is some charge for some of the events. All that money goes back to their organizations, so to help their organizations continue to do the things that they do, which we find to be a double blessing for us. It has made the Cranberry Blossom Festival a nice full weekend, family weekend, and it's helped these organizations continue to do the good things that they do. So, yes, there's a Kids Learn to Fish by the Grand Rapids Lions. That's out at the Lions Club in their little pond out there. But there's also another one on Sunday morning that is run by the Rapids Police Department. That's another one, been going with us since the beginning. And you can just go down there. They'll have poles and rods and reels and, you know, all the things necessary to catch a fish. Then it goes into the Cranberry Blossom Festival Parade. It will start at the Boys and Girls Club on the west side of town and cross the river, come over to the top of the hill on the east side. Lots of things going on that, live music, even put a marching band together this year, which are very difficult to find these days. But we, but the chamber has worked with Lincoln High School and one other high school to make sure that there's a marching band there.
And then after the parade, last but not least, you got to have yourself a duck derby, and the Rapids Fire Department is putting that on, right?
Yes, yes. This is another thing. They started this maybe about 5-6 years ago. The money is going towards their charitable foundation. You can buy a duck. The duck is numbered. Once they dump the ducks into the river, first one to cross the line wins. And the fire department takes care of picking up all those ducks and getting them out of the river then. But lots of fun to watch.
It sounds great, and it's going to be a very, very warm weekend. So hopefully folks stay hydrated, and to learn more about them, head over to blossomfest.com, and you can learn more, as described here by Maggie Mileski from the Wisconsin Rapids Cranberry Blossom Festival. She's the festival president. Maggie, thank you so much for such a great description of what we can expect this weekend. Thank you, Maggie. Have a wonderful day.
You also, Pat. Thank you.
It is 7:45 now on this Thursday morning. It's June 19th, and earlier we talked about the voice note feature of the new Civic Media app. It's a new feature where you can either text, you can call, you can now leave this voice note. And what happens is it comes in on the same screen that our texts come in, with a transcript of what's on the tape that somebody put on their voice note. Except, Parker, you and I would agree, the technology still needs some tweaking.
It might need a little tweaking. It might also need to tell us who's talking, would be nice.
It might, because we were seeing things like, I like listening to my daddy. I love listening to Pat Quite Low, and something that says there's a part of the board. And as you'll hear, we're going to play the voice notes. None of that is correct whatsoever. It's way better than that. So play the first one.
I don't like listening to my daddy.
You're supposed to say, I love listening to Pat Kreitlow in the morning.
Well, that didn't work, so we had to leave another voice note. And here's how that one sounded.
There's a Pat in the morning.
One more time.
Oh, I listen to Pat in the morning.
I love listening to Pat in the morning. That'll work. That will work.
That'll work. That should be a promo.
Yeah, get on that text line and let us know who that adorable new announcer is, because I think there might be some new showliners coming up real soon.
Oh,
using
yeah.
The voice note feature. You know what? You know what? We could actually do that. Look, Don Rue and I have been friends going back to my very first radio job in Rice Lake back in 1986. And Don is the voice you hear at the top of every hour here. And I don't think Donald will mind one bit if some other folks take a turn. So if you want to use that voice note feature and come up with your own intro to the show or something, you know, just give it the usual, you know, from Civic Media. It's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Here from Up North News is Pat Kreitlow. We would use those.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I mean, don't swear or anything like that. Well, but yeah. That would be fun. I do sense that I had a feeling as to who the kids might belong to.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it's Tony. He puts here two different kids. The second one is 3-year-old Reese, and Sydney, age 5, has the sass. So there you go. It's Reese and Sydney who are following in their father's footsteps of, you know, stalking us through the YouTube page, and we couldn't be happier about that. Also coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network today, we've got, of course, Matt Nair on Air is coming up at 9 o'clock from 9 to 11. Jim Santel is slated to be on at 9:30 this morning. At 10:30, sports with Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. And, of course, at 10:50, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Maggie Dawn has a full slate of guests for a special Juneteenth edition. Pete Schwabba's Nightlight has the popcorn pick of the week at 6:30. And, of course, Todd Alba will have updates on the possible budget cuts to the UW system. In fact, he's here coming up next for some of you. Others will have a local update, and we'll see you in our next hour with Sean O'Malley and more here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Visit the Milwaukee County Zoo this summer to enjoy so many species of connection. Home to more than 2,200 animals and over 340 species, kids can dig into dinos at the zoo's summer exhibit. At Exploration Dinosaur, presented by Meyer, you'll unearth the past and explore prehistoric bones, teeth, and more from mighty dinosaurs like T-Rex and Triceratops. It's an exciting, hands-on adventure with life-size dinos. Exploration Dinosaur is open daily through October 5th. Learn more at milwaukeezoo.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. Go-To for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Matt Nair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Over this past weekend, we saw President Trump ramp up his threats of sending troops into so-called blue cities. Juxtapose this against all the No Kings marches happening across the country, including Milwaukee, and it makes for a very interesting conversation. A conversation that Maggie Dawn had with Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson to get his thoughts on all the pressure coming down from Washington on cities like his.
Donald Trump late on Sunday texting out,
or not texting, posting on social media what can only be described as an unhinged rant, sort of doubling down on this idea of targeting Democratic cities. As a sitting Dem mayor of a large Midwestern city, Mr. Johnson, what's going through your head as you're hearing all this from the president?
Well, I mean, it's typical Donald Trump, and I'm sorry to like be, you know, exasperated when I'm answering the question. It's not you. It's just the exhaustion that all of us collectively said we were not going to be in this administration, this, you know, Trump 2.0 administration. But unfortunately, here we are again, just because that's what he does. That's what he does. I mean, it's, you know, create a problem and then say that you fix the problem. You know, he's saying that, you know, we're going to go in and fix the cities and make them safe again and make them clean again, because he likes to put again after every, you know, thing that he says for whatever reason. But then, like, when he leaves, it's the same way that it was, you know. And then the other thing, too, here is, like, I don't even think he actually believes it. I think he's playing, you know, a tough guy on TV when he's behind the seal of the president, unfortunately. Why do I say that? I say that because, look, before the RNC of Milwaukee, or during the RNC of Milwaukee, rather, he actually called me and said how great the city was and how remarkable the public safety was doing, you know, and all those things. And Milwaukee was great. Milwaukee was excellent. That's what he told me directly, which is a far cry from when he, you know, puts on the mask and gets behind, you know, the seal or on the campaign trail and says that, you know, Milwaukee's a horrible city. So I think some of it is just, you know, him playing a game. But that's the danger in this, though. Like, you're supposed to be able to believe what your elected officials say, especially when that elected official is the president of the United States.
Yeah, it is a dangerous game. And I wanted to ask you, Mr. Mayor, this additional question about this, and I share your exasperation. I hate having to ask these same things because, you know, if the guy would stand up and lead and try to unify, no, we wouldn't have to have these kinds of conversations. One of the things that concerns me about this moment is that, as many political scientists and historians will note, as rhetoric that is dehumanizing about people or people in particular places, as that dehumanizing rhetoric increases, so do incidents of political violence, because to the extent that you can see and believe that your political opposition is inhuman, it is much easier to do things that you would have previously considered to be far beyond the pale. And so as Donald Trump says these things, I don't think he thinks Milwaukeeans or Chicagoans or New Yorkers believe what he's saying. I think he's trying to create a permission structure where things like deployment of the National Guard and active duty Marines is acceptable by his base. When you look at how we move forward and how we deal with this as a political matter, how do we counter that as Milwaukeeans or as Wisconsinites, not even blue and red, if we want to come together and find some place of unity to say to this administration, that's not an okay way to conduct business because it is so abnormal. It is such an abrogation of leadership. What do you think the pathway forward to do that might be?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. And you're right, I mean, about his rhetoric. Now, we all had, you know, conversations about toning down the political rhetoric in light of the assassination attempts on his life, right? And so it's really, really unfortunate that on his part, on the president's part, that behavior has just continued to happen. I mean, he's gone on to say not just, you know, inhumane things about other people, and not just other people, fellow Americans, right? Fellow countrymen and fellow countrywomen. He's called people vermin. You know, he says that, you know, the media is fake. I remember some of his rallies when he was first running for president saying, oh, you know, if somebody like that would come in a place like here, they'd be, you know, they'd have to leave out on a stretcher. He, you know, calls places like ours, you know, horrible cities where people live. He's said that people in this country are the enemy within, all of these things. And so, yeah, that's dehumanizing. And yeah, it takes away, I think, inhibitions from people who might act on you know, some of their thoughts that probably otherwise would not if we had somebody in the White House who was actually a leader, actually uniter, actually bringing people together. But I think the way that we address it in this moment is by not giving him what he wants. Because what he wants more than anything at all, is to be able to press that button, is to be able to mobilize, you know, and federalize the armed forces, to be able to go after fellow American citizens, especially in blue cities like ours. So we can't give him what he wants.
If you'd like to listen to the rest of that conversation, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Maggie Dawn Show, and you'll be able to find the full conversation with Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. You can also find all sorts of other episodes from all of our shows here on Civic Media by going once again to civicmedia.us/shows. And remember, you can also subscribe to her show as a podcast as well. Just go to your podcast distribution center of choice, search Maggie Dawn, and get it in your device right away. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll see you soon. It's 7:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Attacks are intensifying on day 7 of the Israel-Iran conflict. The BBC's Hugo Bechega.
We've had reaction from the Israeli authorities accusing Iran of deliberately targeting a hospital. We don't know what the target here could have been.
Israel says at least 40 people were injured. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe is at the White House.
CBS News has learned the president approved unspecified attack plans as an option, but is holding off in case Iran agrees to abandon its nuclear program.
A heat dome is spreading brutal temperatures across the country a day before summer officially begins. CBS's Andres Gutierrez is in Las Vegas.
Today, it will once again perhaps reach up to 110 degrees, and this is going to be keeping paramedics on guard.
Temperatures are expected to climb into the 90s for the first time this year in New York City and Boston. That's about 20 degrees above normal. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.